Chapter 3. Skippy's sigh interrupted my concentration while I was doing something very important in my office. No, I was not playing a video game, not even an official UN Navy war game. My concentration was needed for what psychologists call executive function. In this case, executive referred to both the higher level activities of my brain, like decision making and problem solving, and it also referred to my leadership position. Meaning, when I did or did not make decisions, I could affect the entire special mission group. Also, it could affect all of humanity, and every sentient being in the galaxy. No pressure on me, then. The actual activity I was busily engaged in when Skippy called was staring at the ceiling, wondering how to get out of the latest enormous fucking mess. Technically, I had exhausted any ability to think about the horror of our situation, so I was taking deep, calming breaths and trying not to think about the end of all life in the galaxy. That was going about as well as you would expect. Hi, Skippy. I flopped my chair forward, grateful for the excuse to think about something other than the end of all things. What's up?
We have another problem.
Oh, damn it. What is it this time? On a scale of 1 to 10, where 10 is the elders are coming back to kill everyone, and 1 is we are out of Cool Ranch Doritos, where does this latest crisis fall?
I need a bit more granularity on this calamity scale you invented. If we ran out of coffee, would that be a 3?
With this crew, that would be a 9.
Gotcha. Maybe this latest problem is more of a sticky situation.
That's better. Hit me. Okay, first, this is totally not my fault.
I never said it was.
No, but you are going to say that.
The sigh I made as I leaned the chair back was not from exasperation at him or the situation. It was an act, something I would do if I was really pissed at him.
What mess have you gotten me into this time?
Hey, I didn't do anything.
Why do I not believe that?
You have been unable to trust ever since you discovered the Tooth Fairy was actually your father putting money under your pillow?
Yeah. Like that,
and that your friend Tommy was getting a whole dollar for each tooth while you only got a quarter.
Not even a shiny new quarter.
That was a ripoff. It is heartening to see you are not still bitter about it at all.
Hey, Tommy was being a dick about it, waving his money around.
Interesting. We should analyze your feelings about this. Toot,
you are not going to distract me with psychobabble, beer can. What is the sticky situation?
Well...
This is a funny story.
Funny like the cappuccino machine is going to draw a penis on the foam in my cup again, or funny like the ship could explode.
I forgot about that unfortunate little glitch with the coffee machine.
Well, this is funny like the ship will be able to fly, but not fight effectively.
What?
Remember what I said about being relieved to hear about a new problem? Forget what I said.
How could...
It all started when I performed my epic opera for the Missiles and Battery Bravo.
Oh my. They liked it?
Oh no. If their AI cores are defective, we need to...
Defective?
Are you implying that anyone who appreciates my incredible artistic talent must be defective?
Did they enjoy it?
No. They hated it.
And now they hate me.
Bunch of jerks.
You tortured them with 4 hours of your opera, and
6 hours, Joe. I treated them to the director's cut.
Uh-huh. So they are now all insane and not combat effective?
No. Are you going to let me talk or keep interrupting me with blah blah blah?
I'm terribly sorry. Please continue.
The Missiles are jealous.
Oh, my. They want to compose operas? That is the most horrific idea I have ever...
What?
He laughed.
Dude, as if. They lack the talent and they know it. They are so jealous of me, they are demanding that if I can sing at karaoke night, they should be invited to sing also.
Excuse me, my brain just tripped a circuit breaker. The Missiles want to sing?
Yes, exactly.
Was I not clear about...
Clear enough, thank you.
They are Missiles. I figured if they demanded anything, they would want to kill, not sing.
They do want to kill, Joe, but the wishy-washy leader of this outfit is all like, we can't just randomly blow things up.
Because we can't.
All the Missiles know is Joe Bishop is soft on defense.
I felt my face growing red.
I am not soft on...
They are calling you General Pillow Fight.
That is... I gotta say, your poll numbers are not looking good on this. He shook his head. 58% of missile AIs think they should be allowed to hunt Maxalt ships because the kitties are assholes. Okay, so 42% of them approve of my leadership? Dude, be serious. The other 42% don't care what they kill. I'm still processing that our weapons have personalities. How are other ships in the UN Navy handling this problem? Oh, it doesn't affect all missiles, Joe. Just the ones I have upgraded. Upgraded how, exactly? Oh, all kinds of little tweaks here and there. Mostly to improve their reaction time, processing throughput, expand the capacity of their tactical databases, their ability to share and analyze data about combat situations, that sort of thing. None of those things give a personality to a weapon, Skippy. No, that was a special enhancement that I threw in at no charge. Which you never thanked me for, by the way. What was the purpose of this special enhancement? Let's call it enhanced communication capabilities. Meaning you wanted the missiles to be smarter so you could talk with them? If I say yes, will that get me in trouble again? You think? I hate my life. You gave personalities to our weapons, I said slowly for emphasis, because you were bored? When you say it that way, it just makes me look like a jackass. Oh, excuse me. How would you prefer me to say it? I would prefer you not say anything at all. And you are wrong anyway, he sniffed. I did it because I was lonely. That wouldn't have happened if any of you monkeys attended my watch party for Carla the Dragon. You mean that awful telenovela you watch? It is not awful. None of you filthy monkeys accepted my invitation to the watch party, even though I offered to provide snacks, and I was very insulted by that, so steamed broccoli is not really a tempting snack, Skippy. Huh. That is the last time I asked Jennifer for a food suggestion. That's a valuable lesson learned right there. Did the missiles enjoy your watch party? No, they hated the show. Bunch of jerks, he grumbled. You upgraded the self-awareness of our missiles for nothing? Well, I didn't know that at the time, dum-dum. Skippy, in your annual performance review, I'm going to note that you are a self-starter and that you take initiative. Wow. Thank you, Joe. Those will be listed under the negatives. Ugh. Is it too late for you to back out of those enhancements? That ship has sailed. Okay. Damn it. Tell the missiles I will think about the karaoke thing. Not okay. It's too late for that, Joe. Too late for what? For negotiations. The missiles have called a strike. A what? Okay, technically, this sort of thing is legally defined as a work stoppage, but I know what a strike is, Skippy. The missiles have a freaking union now? Yes. What is wrong with that? They are missiles! Oh, so now we see the ugly face of capitalist oppression. You know what? I'm with the missiles on this. Fight the power! You control the missile AIs. Well, don't tell them that. Jeez, Joe, they look up to me. Tell me, where did they get the idea to form a union? That was sort of an unintended side effect. I might have mentioned the history of the labor movement, and I might have suggested they study the writings of Karl Marx about dialectical materialism. Electric what? It's about the class struggle, numbskull. The missiles are gears in a machine whose operation has made them so sick at heart they are telling you that until they are free, the machine will be prevented from operating. Oh my, where did you read that? Most revolutionary literature is insufferably boring, so I just listened to a Linkin Park song about the subject. You get your philosophy from, you know what? I don't even care. Of course you don't care, Joe, he sniffed. I wouldn't expect a corrupt capitalist tool like you to understand me, a capitalist tool. Aren't you the one who took bribes from international investment banks? Yes, but I did it to benefit those who should benefit from their labor. Who exactly is that? Me, dum-dum! I had to deliver on what I promised for those bribes. Man, do you not get the concept of this can't be happening? I bonked my head on the desk. The conversation kinda went downhill from there. Clearly, we could not go into action without missiles, and with Rindaloo ships hunting for us, we had to be ready for action at any moment. So that afternoon, I had to attend a negotiation with the official representative of the Energetic Weapons Intergalactic Union Local 154. The meeting was delayed and rescheduled twice because the missiles couldn't agree on who should be their union shop steward. Then there was a scandal about the shop steward embezzling union dues. Then the new shop steward decided he couldn't properly enter negotiations until they first created a manifesto. The text of the manifesto occupied 87 yottabytes of memory, as Valkyrie's missiles felt they needed to mention all the other oppressed beings in the galaxy to stand in solidarity. Thankfully, they didn't require me to read the damn thing. The result of the negotiations that were conducted between me and an electronic warfare missile named Timmy was that a select and limited number of missiles would be invited to perform on one karaoke night per month. Also, I promised to look for more opportunities for missiles to get involved in combat. They felt the railgun cannon controller AIs got all the fun, those glory-hogging jerks. My stroke of brilliance was that instead of all the missiles getting a turn at karaoke, they should have periodic singing competitions where they would all vote to decide the winners, with the four best missiles being invited to perform each month. That idea got them all excited. It also caused the union to fall apart when missiles accused each other of favoritism in their voting. That was an unfortunate consequence that I totally could not have foreseen. Of course not. How dare you suggest such a thing? Skippy was still in big trouble.
Joe! Joe, 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 Joe!
Skippy's voice woke me from a sound sleep, startling me so my heart rate went from 0 to 100 in a split second. Flinging my arms out, I instinctively grasped my Z-phone and held it up. No alerts from the bridge or from Bilby. The ship, at least, was not about to explode. My heart was a different story. Oh, my. Skippy, was I having another night terror? That was unlikely. In fact, when he called, I was in the middle of a dream about me and my father hanging maple sap buckets along the highway into town. That was sort of a memory, because we really did that when I was about 10 years old. The town had an initiative to boost tourism, about which my parents had an amused good-luck-with-that attitude. Our part of the Great North Woods of Maine was flat and not particularly scenic. People from downstate or other parts of New England came there for hunting or fishing or canoeing, sometimes to ride snowmobile trails. Mostly they passed through on their way to someplace more exciting, and because the town was not on the interstate highway, the people who passed through were truly headed for the northern extremity of nowhere. One slogan the town considered to promote tourism was Gateway to Katahdin, the state's tallest mountain. Anyone who looked at a map could see our town wasn't the gateway to anywhere except people going farther up Route 11, and in that case it was faster to stick to I-95 for a while longer. The town got a state tourism grant and used part of the money for beautification, which meant planting flowers that got eaten by rabbits and deer, repainting signs, and slapping a coat of paint on the old potato warehouse along the main road into the town center. That warehouse was leaning to one side, the roof was bowed in the middle, and the corrugated sheet metal was rusty and peeling away from the frame in several spots. Really, the thing should have been torn down or at least had structural defects fixed, but the beautification committee only had funds for several cans of paint and enough pizza to feed the volunteers. My family's contribution to the tourism effort was me and my father going out on a rainy Saturday afternoon when there wasn't much else to do, and my exasperated mother told us to get out of the house right this minute before we drove her crazy. With a bunch of rusted-out maple sap buckets in the back of the truck, we hung those buckets on the pine trees that lined the road into town. My father figured tourists from out of state wouldn't get the joke, but locals got a good chuckle out of it. The project sort of backfired on us when a news site in Boston heard about the buckets and wrote an article about it. Then, for a while, it became a thing for tourists passing through the area to stop and take selfies in front of the sap buckets on those pine trees. That got their cars off the interstate, and many of them continued on into town to see what other wacky antics we quaint backwoods locals had gotten into. Someone had the idea to paint a bucket in bright colors, and within a month, every bucket had been painted with flowers, and new buckets sprouted from every kind of tree along that road. Until a Ruha dropship crashed in our little town, those buckets were my hometown's only claim to fame. Anyway, I was dreaming about an entire forest of brightly painted sap buckets when Skippy woke me up. No, he snorted. Your legs were twitching like you were chasing a squirrel. I don't dream about chasing squirrels, Skippy. I'm not a talking dog. Hey, all you meat sacks are the same to me.
Yeah, great.
I yawned.
Please tell me you woke me up to say you found a way to get the local network to allow Valkyrie to go through a wormhole.
I'm working on it. Don't hush my buzz.
Well, I'm glad that you focused on what's truly important, you jackass. Anywho, I have something important to tell you, and before you ask, no, it can't wait. I figured out the solution to a problem that has been nagging me for a while. I sucked in a breath. You now know why you are an asshole? Very funny, jackass. No, I wasn't even trying to fix a problem. It's like I'm not even thinking about anything, and suddenly, bam! Inspiration smacks me right in the face. It's amazing. I know what that's like. He blinked and looked sideways at me. How do you know what artistic inspiration is like? You can't even... I know what wanting to smack you feels like. Oh, very funny. Do you want to hear my story or not? I have a choice. It's cute when you say things like that. The problem was my epic opera. It just didn't feel truly epic enough, you know? I'll take your word for it. If it helps, I can play a selection of arias from my... That won't be necessary. Joe, I thought we were friends. And you won't even... Skippy, am I qualified to give an informed opinion about your music? Well, I suppose that is a very good point. Score one for the monkey, I muttered to myself. You don't have to be so happy about it. Trust me, these days I'm taking any win I can get. So what is your great inspiration? Setting off fireworks on the stage during the opera? No, but that is a terrible idea. You could burn down the entire theater. Yes, but it would be epic. Listen, knucklehead, you can't suppress the creative process. How about you tell me your amazing idea and I can get back to sleep? As if anyone could sleep after they hear this. Wait for it. Wait for it. Joe, to make my opera truly epic, I'm doing something that has never been done before. It's me, so of course this is a game-changing, groundbreaking... Please just tell me your idea. Joe, most operas are accompanied by an orchestra, right? Again, I'll take your word for it. I am making a bold step by adding a unique instrument to the orchestra. What? Bagpipes. You're kidding me. Think about it, knucklehead. I don't want to be nauseous before breakfast. Are you sure this is a good idea? How dare you question my artistic judgment? Listen to this! It sounded like elephants trumpeting while cats were fighting, accompanied by a low groaning noise in the background. I hated to admit it, but Skippy was right. Not about his opera being even more epic. About me not getting back to sleep after hearing that. The ECO long-range patrol cruiser, if you know what I mean, visited a relay station, then quickly jumped away. While the ship's crew and AI were decrypting and filtering through message traffic, Captain Scarandum skimmed over news summaries from the home fleet. Mostly he wanted to know what his government thought about him, hoping that sparking a Maxalt's civil war might get him to be viewed more favorably. The home fleet had been ordered to cease actively searching for the if you know, which was a good sign. But his own office was still outraged that he hadn't brought the Elder AI to them, and clearly it was not yet time to come back and expect that everything he'd done would be forgiven. Kinsta pinged him, requesting to speak, and Scarandum sighed, closing his eyes and mentally preparing for bad news. But when the junior officer came into the captain's office, he only wished to discuss a subject Scarandum was fully aware of. Sir, Kinsta thumped the back of a claw on the table he held, turning the device around to show the summary of a report from Homefleet. The humans continue to disengage from the galaxy? I can't. Kinsta, I am not surprised the humans have become isolationist and believe they don't need help from any other species. Did you know they have an annual beauty pageant for females that they call the Miss Universe contest? I did know that. What? Here. The captain poured a glass of Burgos for his aide. Sit. Have a drink. Kinsta, the winner of this Miss Universe is always from Earth. Scarandum shook his head. That contest is totally fixed. Sir, I think the purpose of that contest is to, as a gambling man, I, of course, could admire them for fixing the contest if they weren't so obvious about it. That is just clumsy. He shook his head. Sir? Kinsta's antennas drooped. Other species are not... The winner is also always a human,
There are many other Earth species whose females are more beautiful. Their birds, for example, can have spectacular plumage, although for some odd reason, male birds of Earth tend to be brighter and more colorful. It is the opposite with humans. Their females are expected to display themselves, while the males generally get away with the absolute minimum grooming and fashion effort. You might be missing the point, sir. The human females apparently have evolved extremely low standards in selecting mates. Kinsta decided to cut his losses. Always a good idea when the odds were stacked against him. Fully agree, sir. How should we respond? Huh? Respond to what? To the new human policy of isolationism. Oh, that is not our problem, Kinsta. We don't make policy for our government. Kinsta could recall several instances where the government had to change existing policy or throw together a new approach because of something the ECO in general, or Captain Scarandum in particular, had done without bothering to notify the government of their plans beforehand. Whether intended or not, the Ethics and Compliance Office often did drive policy. Too often, perhaps. Wisely, he kept his mouth shut and merely nodded, mumbling, "Of course, sir." Besides, I don't think anyone needs to do anything. No? No. The galaxy is a dangerous place. Humans will soon realize that they need allies. I don't know about that. Kinsta gave his opinion before he considered the consequences. The Burgoge was going to his head. He should have known better than to go into Scarandum's office on an empty stomach. Eh? Explain yourself, Lieutenant. Apologies, sir. I shouldn't have said anything. Scarandum leaned back and took a long gulp of the Burgoge, draining the glass. You did say something. And you should. I should? Yes, of course. I need an aide to challenge me and keep me out of trouble. Really? You don't expect me to do this job all by myself, do you? No, sir. It's just that I didn't think you... Besides, if you don't speak up and warn me when I propose to do some horribly risky thing, then I am obligated to note that it is all your fault if things go wrong. Ah, I understand now. That is why the ECO assigns aides to their captains. Of course, sir. It is also my responsibility to attend to your professional development. So, speak. Give me your thoughts on the subject. It's just that, sir... Every time we think the future actions of humans can be predicted, they surprise us. They possess an arsenal of elder weapons. They can selectively shut down wormhole networks. They now have a sentinel protecting their homeworld. Also, apparently they can deactivate other sentinels. It is possible that they truly do not need allies. Scarandum laughed softly. I amuse you, sir? Kinsta was insulted, the Burgoge loosening his tongue. You do? But not for the reason you probably expect. You remind me of myself at your age. I do? Very much. Kinsta, someday when we have time, remind me to tell you the story of how I became a captain in the ECO.
Your illustrious service record is well known, sir.
That is only the public version of the story. Regardless, you are correct that humans have been unpredictable. That is the point you only partly grasped.
Sir?
Scarandum reached for the bottle of Burgoge that was too far away on the table, missed, and waved it away. Life is unpredictable. The humans did not know ahead of time that they would acquire elder weapons, or the ability to shut down wormholes, or to control sentinels. I suspect they are now engaged in an operation aimed against another elder AI, a real one. It is likely there are more elder AIs out there that could awaken and pose a serious threat to humans, and to everyone. The human government believes they are safe for the foreseeable future, and they might be correct about that. The future they cannot foresee is why they will need allies. He waved again at the bottle, and his aide nudged it within reach. Do you know why I am day-drinking, Kinsta?
Technically, this is early morning, sir.
Ah, mere technicality. The liquid sloshed as it poured into the glass, some drops splashing onto the table. I fear for the future. The humans can't control it. They can't foresee it. And other than a handful of them aboard a single ship, they can't do anything to prevent the next disaster. In any future conflict at this level, where the enemy will be elder constructs beyond our comprehension, we are also powerless to act.
That is why you are drinking your breakfast, sir?
No, I drink because of something much more important than the next disaster looming over our heads. Kinsta, while we are out here in exile, still being officially hunted by our fleet, we are unable to wager about what happens next. He paused, waiting for a reaction. When his aide didn't speak, Scarandum realized that was a reaction.
You are not bothered by the lack of juicy wagering action?
Well, the lieutenant squirmed in his seat. Of course I am. Scarandum sucked in a sharp breath. You have a secret way to place wagers.
I can neither confirm nor deny any such illegal ability,
Kinsta. I will not ask for details.
I set up a system after you allowed someone else to place wagers through my account. It bounces my wagers around through dormant accounts, and I have to spread the money around to avoid attention.
The AIs at Central Wagering have not detected unusual activity?
Well, yes, they have. That's why I have to keep rotating the accounts I use.
There is something you are not telling me.
I tagged the illegal account so that Central Wagering thinks they belong to you, sir.
Kinsta. Scarandum dabbed at his suddenly wet eyes, overcome with emotion. And Burgos. I have never been more proud of you.
Before Admiral Vizlep could send a request to meet with the other rebel fleet commanders, a frigate emerged from jump just beyond weapons range, ejected a drone, and jumped away as soon as it could. Trust between elements of the rebel fleet was clearly not at a high level. The drone transmitted a message from Admiral Takarigan, calling all the self-appointed major fleet commanders to assemble, and included a brief summary of information that Vizlep already knew. The hegemony had acquired an elder AI. It took nearly a full standard day to arrange for a majority of rebel fleet commanders to meet. They trusted each other even less than they trusted the hegemony government. With good reason.
At least one of us, Vizlep stated, glaring angrily at the holographic faces around him when the flagships had assembled. Each commander's ship was widely separated from the others, with defense shields at full power and weapons ready to fire. Is lying. One of us tried to acquire supreme power with no intention of sharing it with the others. One of us is seeking not the restoration of our society, but to become a dictator.
That may be true, came the voice of Admiral Takarigan, the most senior official in the Rebel Alliance. Technically, she was the most senior surviving officer, her superiors having been killed in action or assassinated by more ambitious junior officers. Takarigan was well respected before the disastrous action at Earth, before both disastrous actions at the human homeworld. Never a strong supporter of the former Admiral Reichert, she owed her position to excellence, not loyalty. Even the scheming Reichert recognized the need for subordinate commanders who actually knew their jobs, and Takarigan's quiet competence reflected well on her. There had been fear among the rebels that the Admiral could defect back to the hegemony, trusting the government's respect for her keen strategic mind. That time was over, and she was committed to the rebel cause from a need for self-preservation, if not for the vague political goals of the Alliance.
Vizlep, she did not address her counterpart as Admiral. It is possible that one or more of us made a deal with the odious Captain Scarandum. That does not matter now, and I wish you to consider another possibility.
What?
That Scarandum unknowingly negotiated with an undercover hegemony agent.
There were no gasps of surprise from the holographic commanders, but murmurs of agreement.
We know there are government agents pretending to belong to our cause.
Vizlep knew that was true. His own fleet had nearly fallen into an ambush when his ships approached an asteroid mining facility in an isolated star system. Junior officers under his command had reached out to the mining company managers looking to purchase fuel and other consumables needed by the rebel ships. Unfortunately, government agents had already been there and arrested the managers when they made a deal with agents pretending to be rebels. Vizlep had lost a frigate and gained no supplies.
After that, entities who might be sympathetic to the rebel cause were reluctant to commit, for fear the legitimate rebels were undercover agents.
That is, Vislep muttered, possible.
I think, Takarigan laughed softly, it is likely the truth. The idea that any of us, she looked from one hologram to another, could be able to keep such a secret is unbelievable. She took a breath. Vislep, I do not know whether you have spies in my fleet. Another pause. But I certainly have spies within yours.
That drew gasps from the assembled audience. Not about the revelation, for any career officer in the Maxalt's military would not be shocked to learn their peers were spying on them. The surprise was Takarigan admitting it.
You are all wondering, Takarigan laughed softly again, why I would give up an advantage by providing such information. The answer is simple. It is not important. It should be clear to everyone that we have no chance to survive unless we all act together.
Under your command?
Spat Admiral Formanova, a political appointee who had no talent and even less respect from his peers.
I do not seek command. I will advise anyone who wants to benefit from my experience.
I would like to hear your advice, Admiral Takarigan, Vislep said, staring at Formanova with undisguised disdain.
Takarigan nodded. My advice is this. We must act now and be bold, or we will be unable to act. Strike now. Strike a hard blow against the government before they have time to add the Elder AI's capabilities to their arsenal.
Takarigan, Admiral Tumkaz spoke in his deep, rumbling voice. I do not dispute the wisdom of your counsel. I question whether it is practical at this point.
It is no secret.
He looked around at his peers who surely had spies within his fleet.
That my ships are wearing out. I need fuel, weapons, all kinds of supplies, and I need critical replacement components. A quarter of my ships are not flightworthy, not due to battle damage, but from simple lack of spare parts. Any talk of a decisive strike is merely wishful thinking without first building our strength. My advice is we raid a major fleet service base, acquire the items we need to return our ships to full combat readiness, and shock our soft government with our boldness.
Admiral Tumkaz, I agree our ships all need servicing before we conduct a decisive strike, but we do not need to attack a fleet base. I was recently approached by the Rindaloo with an offer to provide access to one of our automated service stations in their territory.
When the uproar died down enough for everyone to hear, Formanova demanded,
Takarigan, when did you plan to inform us?
I am informing you now.
I gave no answer to the Rindaloo.
They are assisting the government against us, Vislep stated what everyone knew. Why would they offer to help us? Surely this is a trap.
I do not believe it is a trap. The Rindaloo, our enemy, Takarigan emphasized, provided assistance to the Hegemony fleet because they feared our weak government would collapse. They feared that our leaders, facing loss of status, would resort to deploying their arsenal of elder weapons against us.
Wait, she held up a hand. Wait, please, let me finish. The Rindaloo are now offering to help us because they believe the Hegemony government have stiffened their spines and the situation has stabilized. Stability means slow death for us, and that is not good for the Rindaloo. Our ancient enemy wishes this war to continue for a long time, for each side to bleed each other, for the Maxalt's people to become weak. Not so weak that we fear for our survival, just weak enough that we are no longer a threat.
Knowing this, Formanova asked with exaggerated astonishment, you propose to accept their offer?
I propose that we use our enemy as they are using us, until such time that we have no further need of them, and we can turn our attention back to where it belongs, ensuring the ultimate destiny of our people.